This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
So, obedience under the new covenant is all about embracing grace. Every gift, blessing, and manifestation of our righteousness and holy nature that's in this new covenant comes through receiving and not through achieving. My righteousness comes through receiving, not by me achieving my righteousness. My holiness comes through receiving from Him, not I've achieved it from Him.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app. With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflodollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today.
Look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 and verse 6 in the New Living Translation. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 and verse 6 in the New Living Translation. I want to take you through just how this worked when even people in the Old Testament did it. Verse 1, 3 days later when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag. They came home to Ziklag and they found that the Amalekites had made a raid in Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and they burned it to the ground and they took all the family members. But look at verse 6. David was now in great danger. Families missing, homes destroyed, because his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. You know, when things are not going right, you're looking for somebody to blame. And they began to talk of stoning him. But David called his lawyer to see if they could get him out. But David found strength in the Lord. David found strength in the Lord. It was a serious situation going him on, but he was relying on God. There were probably a lot of different paths he could have taken, but he decided, I'm going to trust and rely and lean confidently on God. You got to get yourself in a position where that's automatic. Your priority is relying on God automatically. You don't even think about it no more. It's automatically, let me go pray. Let me go talk to God. Let me go and think. Let me go get my scripture. It's got to be automatic. David found strength in the Lord. And you know the rest of the story. Shall we pursue? Shall we overtake? God spoke to him, told him what to do. And the Bible says, and David recovered all. Wonder what would have happened had he turned to something else. Let's look at these things in the Old Testament and then bring it on up. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11 through 12 in the NLT. 2 Chronicles 14, 11 and 12. My God. He said, then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, O Lord, No one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. We got to get that same attitude. We've allowed the world to condition us into thinking that we got a little God. And when we talk about turning to God when something is going on in the world, somebody say, I ain't got time to be playing church. This is real. Well, so is your God. He says, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. Now, here, horde is just a large number of people. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. Oh, my God. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah, and the enemies fled, because here again you see somebody that put God first priority and relied on him, and look at what happened. Come on, let's move a little further. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7 in the NLT. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7 in NLT. Now, at the time of Hananiah, the seer came to King Asa and told him, watch this, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram. You put your trust in the king of Aram. You put your trust somewhere else. Now, watch what he says. Instead of in the Lord, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Excuse me, Aram. You missed your chance. I wonder how many chances we've missed because we chose to rely on something else and not God. See, that's where the world is right now. They are confident in their ability. They're confident in their technology. They're confident in their education. They're confident in everything they got from the world. And you and I have the Almighty God, and we keep missing our chance because we're seduced by what they're doing. And you don't know that your God was the God that put the technology here. Your God is the God that has wisdom greater than education. We can no longer miss our chance. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I done made my mind up. I ain't missing no more chances to see what God can do with this. I want to see what God can do with this debt. I want to see what God can do with this unemployment. I want to see what God can do with this sickness and disease. I want to see what God can do with this depression. I want to see what God can do with this fear. I want to see what God can do with this bad relationship. Before I get a divorce, I want to see what God can do. You missed your chance with your smart self to see what God could do. All right, now, let's inch it up another level here. Go to Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14 in NLT. Now, he introduces something here that we got to get this now. The Old Testament was prophetically trying to explain this. He's talking about the fact that there was going to be the coming of a Christ. There was going to be a new and living way, a new way of living and using our faith. And he's trying to get us ready for this. Look at this. He said, David says, yet I am confident. That's reliance, isn't it? I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness. I just got to get everybody to say that. Just say it. I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness. Can y'all say that just one more time? I am confident. And every time you say something like that, peace comes and says, amen. I am confident I'll see the Lord's goodness. Somebody say, yeah, but Reverend, you don't know where I am. I am confident to see the Lord get. Yeah, but I'm in a ditch. I am confident that he can deliver you up out of a ditch. You ain't the first one that has fallen into a ditch. God has a master's degree in picking folks up out of ditches. I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. So we're not talking about when you die and go to heaven. He's talking about while you are alive today, in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of shortage, in the middle of a war, I am confident that I'm going to see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. What I need to do? Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave while you're waiting. Be courageous while you're waiting. They're gonna talk about you while you're waiting. They're gonna call you crazy while you're waiting. They're gonna say you're disconnected from reality while you're waiting. He says, but yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Now, I looked at us and I, wait a minute now, Lord. We're talking about relying on God. Now you're talking about waiting on the Lord. What is waiting on the Lord? It means the same thing as relying. It means looking to Him. It means consulting or seeking His will before any human aid is pursued. We wait on the Lord when we pause and pray before we act. You do like your grandmama used to do. I heard this thing this morning. You do like your grandmama used to do. When something go wrong, she'd go around and say, baby, you got a closet. Well, grandma, what that got to do with anything? Do you have a closet? Grandmama go in that closet and shut the door. What is she doing? She's relying on Jesus. Before consulting any human aid. Now, we love consulting any human aid. Let you get broke and a bill due. Can you help me out? Have you talked to Jesus? No. Well, don't you think you ought to let him have an opportunity to see what they're going to do? Why? You got it. I'm like, I got to say, you know. Because I'm not going to be your God. When was the last time you pursued Him before you pursued human aid? There you go, getting ready to miss another chance. God knew that situation was going to happen before the foundations of the world. He already had the answer. He already had the situation set up. And you would not even rely on Him because you didn't trust Him and you didn't believe Him. And trouble will tell you everything you need to know about who's priority in your life. How many chances are we going to let go by because we are lusting after something we want and not seeing the bigger picture down the road? Just letting you think about it. Selah. Wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently for Him. Somebody said, what that gonna do? All right, go to Isaiah 64, verse 4 in the NLT. Wait patient on Him. What that gonna do? Look to Him, consult Him, seek Him, rely on Him, pursue Him. You say you're a Christian. Christianity is not about your t-shirt with your John 3:16 scripture on the front and your cross on the back. it's really living this now. And God's got some big stuff he's trying to do for those who would depend on him. His grace is that unmerited, abounding provision in the operation of his unrestrained, infinite love that'll go through Jesus Christ for you and for me, especially for those who depend and rely upon him. Well, what's going to happen if I don't? Well, for since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. How many of you want to employ God into your life this morning? He said he'll go to work for somebody who will rely on him. He'll go to work for some. I mean, aren't you just a little bit interested in just kind of seeing what would happen if I just back up and say, all right, Lord, I'm gonna rely on you. I'm gonna rely on you. Sometimes you just gotta back off on stuff. Sometimes you just make your mind up, you know what? I really want that, but I gotta trust God. God trying to do something better than what you want. But you won't give him a chance. Wonder what's been in the booth, in the back, in the corner, in the dark of your life that you keep pushing back because you won't rely on him. Are you listening to me now? The gospel of grace points us to Jesus and who we are in him. And in him, watch this, this is radical. In him, we are perfect. I rely on me being complete only in him, not in me. You have to stop relying on yourself. You got to put that aside. I am perfect in him. I am favored. In him, I am favored. In him, I am beloved. In him, I've qualified. In him, again, I'm blameless. In him, I'm righteous in God's sight because of what Jesus has done for me, because of what Jesus has done for you. He is no longer looking at you without looking at you through Jesus. Our righteousness is not based on anything we've done for him. But it's based on everything that he's done for us. My righteousness is not based on anything that I have done for Jesus. My righteousness is based on everything that Jesus has done for me. And we still trying to get righteousness based on what we've done for him. So obedience under the new covenant is all about embracing grace. Every gift, blessing, and manifestation of our righteousness and holy nature that's in this new covenant comes through receiving and not through achieving. My righteousness comes through receiving, not by me achieving my righteousness. My holiness comes through receiving from him, not I've achieved it from him. My blessings come because I've received it from him, not because I achieved it from him. My wisdom comes because I've received it from him, not because I achieved it. And in the church today, we are achieving minded. We're thinking, let's do what we got to do so we can achieve righteousness, achieve holiness, achieve blessings. Sweating like a sinner, trying to achieve something that God wants us to receive. Obedience in the New Testament is believing, right? Hebrews chapter, you remember that, 3? Verse 18 and 19. Obedience is received, not achieved. Obedience is a fruit that comes from grace, Now, I'm going to say it a couple of times, then I'm going to explain it to you. Obedience is a gift of grace that springs forth from a revelation of how much the Father loves us. Obedience is a gift of grace that springs forth from a revelation of how much the Father loves us. Now, if I was just preaching this stuff to you, not living it, I would not even know how to explain that statement. But I can, because I'm living this. My faith rests in the love of God, which means that because He loves me, I now have faith that He heals me. Because He loves me, and I have faith that I am righteous. Because He loves me, watch this, I can be obedient. Because He loves me, I can be obedient. So here's the illustration here. And everyone who lives this life of grace, you know what, immediately you'll see what I'm talking about. Temptation knocks on the door for you to do something that's missing the mark, that's out of order, to sin. But you think about how much God loves you, and then you receive obedience to overcome whatever temptation is knocking on the door. God loves me. Therefore, I can overcome that. Now unto Him who is able to keep me from falling. He's able to keep me from falling. But your focus is on your faith resting in His love. So obedience is not something that I achieve. Oh, I was able to overcome that temptation. Oh, I obeyed God. I did this. No. Obedience is a fruit that I received. Oh, because I know He loves me and I rely on Him and I know I'm nothing without Him. And yet, no matter what I need, He is the vine, I'm the branch. He will allow the fruit of obedience to get to me from Him. And now I have received obedience to overcome anything because of the revelation of the love that I have concerning Him. You know what? You know how you stop a lot of junk in your life? You're relying on Jesus and His unrestrained love for you. God loves me. Therefore, I'm righteous. But watch this. God loves me. Therefore, I don't have to submit to that sin. God loves me. Therefore, I don't have to do what I used to do. God loves me. Therefore, I don't have to be addicted and go back. See, whatever you used to do, it ain't like it disappeared from your head. It still wander around there every now and then, but you don't go in at it, because every time you look that it's there, you think, well, I'm tempted to do it again. Not really. It's there, and you know you did it, but then you realize, I don't want to do that no more, because the Spirit of love has been working in me and He has rearranged and changed things. He's taken away my old want to and given me a new want to, and I rely on Him to keep me out of this darkness. Now unto Him who is able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless before the Almighty God. There's no way grace can be responsible for increasing sin. Grace teaches you how to live godly. Grace teaches you how to love what's not lovely. Grace gives you a tolerance for the ugly. I mean, grace will have you loving, and I'm talking about for real loving it. Grace will have you thinking in your mind your enemy is your best friend. When was the last time you was in prayer? God does this to me all the time. And I think about, Lord, what else I need to talk to you about? He says, bless your enemies. Huh? You bless them. No, bless your enemies. I mean, seriously, somebody that just make your skin crawl, bless them. Something happens to you when you can open your mouth up and release a blessing on them. That's fruit that's received, not achieved.
Are you focused on doing works so that God sees you as obedient? In the Six Message series, Is Your Belief System Offline? Creflo Dollar teaches that obedience is not measured by performance. It's simply believing and having faith in Jesus Christ.
Everything we have and everything we get now as New Testament Christians, we get it because of what Jesus did. The Old Testament was all about you working for God. The New Testament is all about God working for you. Obedience in the New Testament is called belief. Disobedience is called unbelief. Jesus has delivered you from your sin, and the Holy Ghost is changing your behavior.
Order this life-changing CD series today for a love gift of just $35 or more. This series is also available in DVD format for a love gift of $45 or more. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore, scan the QR code, or call the number on your screen to order today.
Calling all men. September 9th and 10th, join men from all over the world for Mentality Men's Conference.
Our real authority is in our intimate relationship with God.
You don't want to miss this free conference. Register now. Text Mentality to 51555 or scan the QR code on your screen.
We came from God, gentlemen. If anybody needs to have a relationship with God and understand God, we should be going around on our face, crying out before God.
See you September 9th and 10th with Creflo Dollar.
We should be the guys lifting our hands up in praise service. We should be closer to God than anybody. Everybody in our family is nourished by us.
Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and grab your free seat. Register now.
No matter where you are on your personal journey, the Word of God can reach you. Tune in to World Changers every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Have you ever had God save somebody in your family and they were no good for nothing dirty, but he saved them anyway, sanctified them, filled them with the Holy Ghost?
Text WATCH NOW to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about services and stream times.
I open my heart, I open my mind, I open myself up to God possibilities, to God happenings, God encounters, whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it, but I refuse to live in the past.
We're in this together. No matter where we are world changers. See you online.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.
The preceding program was brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.